This evening, the scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says in 25, beginning, we'll read from verse 25 down to verse 34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
In prophecy, Jesus was called the Prince of Peace, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. When he came to this earth, he extended the invitation to all that heard him in Matthew 11, verse 28, beginning, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus had a message for those that were burdened with the cares of life. He had a yoke that they were to bear. He did have something for them to do. But his yoke was easy, and his burden was light. For those that had been through a lot of things in life that might have caused them anxiety, Jesus provided peace. And his words provide peace for us today. We're going to be looking at this part of the Sermon on the Mount and look at ways in which Jesus says that we can approach anxiety. We're 2,000 years removed from when he lived, and yet man is basically the same. We still deal with the same issues. We still have the same problems as far as things that threaten our peace of mind. And Jesus still has the same solution that is just as powerful today as it was when he spoke it on that mountain. And it was recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6. Now, I don't know about you, but I need this lesson from time to time. Sometimes the best thing somebody can say to me as they're going out the door is, I really needed that lesson. And how I determine what I should do as far as lessons is most of the time I just preach on things that I need. And from time to time I start to second guess whether I've thought about something the right way or I've misconstrued something, and I start to worry about things. And you know, sometimes even my kids will ask, are you worried about this or that? And so I think, well, now I'm, you know, it's kind of rubbing off on them. And so it's obviously very evident. And so it's good for me from time to time to just take stock of what Jesus said, to remind myself of eternal truths and help quiet my heart and my mind. And what Jesus has to say here, I think these three things that we can boil this down into will really help us when we are dealing with whatever anxiety might be coming our way, whatever makes us nervous or scared about our lives, about the future. Look at these three things that Jesus says. And it's not we're not going to go fully in order of all the things that he talks about, but we are going to isolate some statements that Jesus makes in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. So in regard to anxiety, first of all, Jesus teaches us that worry is unnecessary. It's unnecessary because God values you more than he values living things of lesser value. You know, a sparrow would be sold for 2 farthings, and yet we're much more valuable than sparrows, and we're much more valuable than the grass of the field that was used to be put into a clay pot and lit on fire in order to heat that up in order to make their daily bread. And so a bird that was sold for very little money, or the grass of the field, the lilies of the field that would be brought up and used as a fuel for the daily fire, are nothing in comparison to our value, how we have eternal souls. And so Jesus tells us, first of all, in order to deal with anxiety, value yourself. Recognize what value you are in the sight of God, especially in comparison to the rest of His creation and how well He takes care of the rest of His creation. You are valuable. Regardless of what you've done in your past, regardless of, you know, what you might be facing, how much you might think that you're a failure in life, you are an eternal soul made in the image of God, and God gave His only Son to die for you. You're valuable. Your soul is greater than anything that you could put together in this world. And so you're valuable. In Matthew chapter 6, notice He says in verse 25, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than just sustaining your physical frame. You're not just the physical body. You're an eternal soul. And so He points us to the birds of the air, verse 26, and how the Heavenly Father feeds them. In verse 28, He points us to the lilies of the field and how they grow and they don't toil or spin like we do. You know, they don't go out and, work to make clothing. And yet, they are even clothed greater than Solomon, who had all of these imported linens from various countries. You have nothing more beautiful than the flowers, the wild flowers that would grow in Palestine. And so here Jesus is saying that, first of all, dealing with worry is recognizing your value, recognizing that God cares for you and that He will take care of you. He'll make sure that you see your way clear as you're following Him. If the birds do their part, they're taken care of. If the flowers do their part, they're taken care of. So you're of much more value than that. And so it's really unnecessary for you to worry about these things when far lesser value things in the world are taken care of. So number one, value yourself. Recognize your value in the sight of God. Number two, accept yourself. Accept things that you cannot change. You know, there are things about myself that I'm just not going to be able to change. There are things about myself that I can change. But a lot of times our worry has to do with two realms of things that it's kind of like a rocking chair that keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And it helps you to suffer before any suffering actually takes place, and so you kind of suffer twice. It's really no good. But, you know, one realm that worry goes into is things that we cannot change. And a lot of times I do this in counseling with people when I'm talking to them about various issues. I'll have them write down on a piece of paper, name the things about this situation that you can change personally. And then on the other side of the piece of paper, write down some things that you cannot change. And then split that piece of paper in two, and the part that you cannot change, just throw that away, because you can't change it, so don't worry about that. And work on the things that you can change in that situation. So a lot of times we are so worried about things that are really beyond our control. There's no way for us to change it. And so, you know, what's the use in us lying awake at night, restless about it? Because it's not like worrying is going to change that. Number two, we're worried about things, the second realm is we're worried about many things that are never going to come to fruition. He says about the things that don't change, he says, which one of you can add a cubit to his stature, or, you know, a span to your time of life? There's some things about that you just can't change. And then the thing about the future, look at verse 34. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You have enough on your plate to worry about today. As far as serving God, doing what you need to do today, don't borrow trouble from the future. Obviously, Jesus, in talking about not taking thought, King James Version, is not saying that we don't plan for the future. You know, Paul even said that the parents ought to lay up for the children, or that, you know, we ought to plan ahead. But don't be consumed by that what's going to happen next week or in a few years, will this happen or that happen? A lot of the things that you and I worry about what might happen in a couple years will never come to fruition anyway. And I'll tell you what's really, if you really want to worry about tomorrow, turn on the news, all right? Look, just get a bunch of news and get that stuff in and let that be the center of your thought rather than God's word. And I'll tell you what, you'll have plenty of things to worry about. Now, obviously, there are things we need to pray to God about. There's things that we need to give to Him. There's things that we need to be active about in our community. But if you just listen to the news, you would think that we are in a hopeless situation all the time. And a lot of those things that we're worried about never come down the pike anyway. So accept yourself. Accept things about yourself that you can't change. And work on the things that you can change. And so this basically shows us that worry is unproductive for things that you either won't be able to change or won't face. Thirdly, not only should we value ourselves and accept ourselves, but Jesus also tells us to consecrate ourselves. That is, to put our efforts for serving God, for things eternal, to give us ourselves a purpose in life. You know, I find that if I'm actually working to do something, I have far less time to worry about what might happen here or there. If I'm busy doing the will of the Lord and knowing that that is going to be something that's valuable, that's not in vain, regardless of what might happen to me, that helps me to occupy my mind and occupy my energies rather than sitting back and wondering, what could happen here or there. And so when Jesus says here in verse 33, after talking about all these things you don't need to worry about, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, some of the things that we've talked about so far, there are people that give a lot of time and effort to doing that. I mean, we had a class on this recently where we went through the Sermon on the Mount, and I was mentioning, there are magazines out there, there are TV channels that are exclusively devoted to how you can get the best food, the best clothing, the best shelter, all of the best things to kind of help you through the physical necessities of life. And you know that Jesus says that life is more than that? Really, worry is beneath. It's unworthy of a life that is to be lived in consecration to God. God has a high calling for us as Christians. He has an eternal purpose for us. He has called us to take part in the divine nature. He has called us to be removed from this world and to be battling for the souls of men. And so to worry and to think about how can I best feed myself, or how can I best clothe myself, or what's the best place to take a vacation to relax my body, or what's the best way to house, my family. All those things are necessary for life, but to spend all of your time in thinking about the best way to do all of that and providing the best way for all of that is to miss the high calling that God has for you in life, is to miss out on why you're here. You remember that rich ruler in Luke 12? You know what his problem was, is he had prepared to live on this life, on this earth, but he hadn't prepared to die. And so many of us are all consumed about making sure that we provide for a good life here rather than seeking God's kingdom first and His righteousness. And so give yourself a cause, the kingdom of God, the church. And notice His righteousness, not your own righteousness. And so worry is unworthy of a life of seeking God first, of the very reason why God created you, and why He's called you to be one of His. You are to seek His kingdom, the church, first, the eternal kingdom, and the righteousness of God. Now, with all this said, Jesus not only told us to do these things, but He actually provides us the avenue by which we can feel, we can know that we are valued, that we are people that are accepted, and that we are people that are consecrated or sanctified or set apart to God. Jesus not only told us, He didn't just bark out orders to don't do this and do this, but He actually Himself provides the means by which we can be those things. Do you know that you can be righteous in God's sight? through Jesus Christ. That you can be a part of His eternal kingdom because of what Jesus Christ did. You think about this first point that we talked about, value. What does the Bible tell us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31? What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? You're valued. God Himself would not spare His own precious Son. That's how much you're valued. That takes care of the value problem right there. What about being accepted? Ephesians 1, verse 6 says, of those that are in Christ, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the well-beloved. When somebody becomes a Christian, they are accepted into the family of God, into the fellowship of God. They no longer are estranged from God as an alien, like he goes on to talk about in chapter 2. Then you were without hope, you were dead, you're without God in the world, but now you've been made near by the blood of Christ. You're fellow citizens, you're part of the household, the family of God, he says in Ephesians 2. And all that's done by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're accepted. And then thirdly, what about being consecrated? You know what Brother Jason was talking about this morning in the Lord's Supper, in our preparing our thoughts for that. Jesus came with a flesh and blood body. And He came with that body in order to sacrifice that body on a cross for us. And to make us holy through one perfect, complete sacrifice. Something that the blood of bulls and goats could not do, Hebrews 10 verse 4. But Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, but by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ for all. That one offering, verse 14 of Hebrews 10, says that through that one offering, He perfected forever those that are sanctified, those that are consecrated, that are set apart for this holy purpose of serving God. And so if I'm in Christ, I can say with Paul that I'm found in Him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That is me taking God at His word and following His commands. So I can stand before God, not condemned, Romans 5:1, but I can stand justified and righteous in His righteousness and not my own righteousness, part of His kingdom, valued, accepted, consecrated because of what Jesus has done. But in order to do this, I've got to take Him at His word. Jesus said about the kingdom in John 3 to Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. If you want to have the blood of Jesus Christ wash your sins away so that you are righteous, having God's righteousness, you've got to take God at His word. You've got to believe, John 8:24. You've got to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. You've got to confess your faith in Christ before men, Matthew 10:32. You have to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Mark 16:16. That's being born of water and of the Spirit, John 3 in verse 5. When you do that, God will make you a new creature in Christ. All things will be passed by that are old, and all things will become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And you will stand not in your own righteousness, but in the righteousness that is provided through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed by faith. That is, God's plan to make you righteous and make me righteous is revealed in the gospel. And if you and I will but take Him at His word, and obey the gospel this evening, we have no reason to have anxiety. We can put Him first. We can have purpose. We can have value. We can be accepted. All you have to do is come. Maybe you've done the first things and you've wandered away and you need to come back. We're here to help you. We're here to pray for you. Whatever your need might be, please come while together we stand while we sing.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay.
Hear, oh hear Him calling, calling now.
far from his presence come today. Hear his loving voice calling still. Calling now for thee, O weary prodigal, come. Calling now for thee, O weary prodigal, come. Come, there's bread in the house of thy father and to spare. Hear, O hear him calling, calling now for thee. Lo, the table is spread and the feast is waiting there. Hear his loving voice calling still. Calling now for thee, O weary prodigal, come.